Welcome to another episode of Binary Jazz. I am Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet. I am joined by Gary, Binary Gary on the Internet, who is our goalkeeper in our intramural Binary Jazz soccer team. I'm also joined by Allison, who is Allison Plus on the Internet and is our left wing back on our Binary Jazz soccer team. Unfortunately, we have no other players, so we've never actually played a game. This is the show where Gary and I know nothing about what's going to be talked about, and Allison gives a subject, and we talk about it.
Is left wing back a real position?
Yeah, it is.
All right, so I don't even know what we're talking about in the introduction. So
yeah, there are. Yes, well, we can. I'm not going to. I'm not going to take over this show by talking about soccer. It's my resolution.
What's the premise of the show?
I gave you the premise, Gary, if you're listening to my introduction.
I was thinking about left wing tackles in soccer. Is that what you said? Left wing tackle?
Left wing back. Left wing back. Not a wing nut. Wing back.
Left wing tackle is a completely different position. I am left footed though, so it's perfect.
There you go.
That is perfect.
I could just, I sort of had this vision of you like streaking upfield. What's that, Gary?
Does that make sense? Like if you're left-footed, so you would be on the left side so that you're working outside in? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't know.
I mean, if you are right-footed and you are playing on the left side, then you'd be known
as... You run backwards.
No. It's known as an inverted winger because you typically are going to be running on that side but then turning infield. And then to put the ball on your right foot.
So an inverted left wing back.
Yes.
Is what you'd be at that point.
Yes.
Look at me learning stuff today.
I don't even need to bring anything to the table now. Our work is done.
This show also has, what was I going to introduce? Something else.
I don't know.
What do we never talk about? Social. Follow us on social.
Yeah, there's a Twitter account, Binary Jazz, and we have a website, binaryjazz.us. We've got a couple
questions. You can send in questions. Your questions at that website.
You can submit your questions. You can also submit them to us on Twitter. And we are on iTunes and Google Play and YouTube. And also, we have a couple Slack bots now.
A handful of Slack bots.
I'm so proud. Well,
very small handful.
It's two hands. That's handfuls.
Guess the one and then the other.
We have the Genrenator,
yes.
Which is also available as a REST endpoint if you're so inclined, but you can learn about the Genrenator at binaryjazz.us and then Ground Control is a recently launched rocket launch bot that notifies you 24 hours, 5 minutes and an hour, but in the correct order before a launch. And you can ask it things and I don't know. We're trying a feedback thing on it. We'll see what happens. It might be installed on three teams at this point.
Soon we'll be offering tickets to be on one of the launches.
No. Oh, man. How cool.
I thought you were going to say tickets to be on one of the shows. I was going to say.
Ooh. Yeah, it is Zoom. So we could have a fourth person
We don't need to actually sell tickets for that. You can just ask.
You can just invite a person.
Yeah, if you want to be in the show, invite yourself. We'll probably make it happen. I don't see why that wouldn't work.
I'm like, would you like to see a movie or would you like to pay $15 to have a conversation with yours truly?
I'd pay the $15 to have a conversation with you. The last movie I saw in theaters was Deadpool, and it was brought to my attention that came out 2+ years ago. 2 years ago? Yeah, 2+ years ago. Yeah,
long enough that the sequel is going to be coming in theaters.
I saw Deadpool on an airplane. I saw Deadpool on my way to Italy.
I don't get out much.
I don't get out much either.
Italy to watch a movie.
Yeah, exactly. I watched Deadpool and I watched Guardians of the Galaxy on an airplane, and neither of them were very good.
Those are good airplane movies, though.
They are good airplane movies because I would never watch them otherwise.
Yeah, you're just kind of like, I've seen it, great. Yeah. I'm a part of pop culture, but I don't have to follow along more than the fact that the screen is like just right in front of you.
I tried watching Doctor Strange, and I couldn't do it. I got like, I don't know, a half hour into it. I'm like, yeah, I can't. I just can't. And then I tried going back to it like a different time and say, okay, I'm going to give it a second chance. No. Wasn't worth a second chance either.
A different time on the same plane ride?
I think a different plane ride.
I was catching a trans-Pacific flight, and I had a middle seat, and the guy next to me got on and took something to make him fall asleep and then ordered a bunch of wine and then turned on a horror movie.
Oh, my God.
And so he's sitting there in his chair, and he's like sort of spacing out and keeps jumping every time something happens in the movie. And it was the most disconcerting thing, but he was like asleep until he was in a total panic from whatever happened in the movie for like a tenth of a second. And then he was pretty much out again. And I'm not sure like why that combination seemed like a great idea to him, but it scared the hell out of me. And I'm trying to think what I was watching. I don't know. I mean, I
it
always
probably
like,
didn't matter at that point, because what you were really watching is the dude next to you. I mean, how could you even concentrate on anything else?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I was watching the dude next to me panicking. Yeah,
I would try to watch the movie that he was watching to anticipate his startled reaction.
I'm a big old wimp. I don't do horror movies. Never have.
See, I used to. I was totally like, I mean, I was a teenage metalhead, so horror movies is like my bread and butter, but I can't do it anymore.
I guess there's a thing, like there's horror movies that are like, that have that like shock fear factor, and then there are horror movies that are just like, oh, gory, okay, gory's yeah. fine, but the shock like fear factor for me,
I
think we
were talking
about my jaws, right? Like being afraid of sharks in the bathtub when I was a kid, so.
I have a really low tolerance these days for like dread. Like, we use Plex, and Plex will play like the theme song of the song before, you know, if you're on the page. And so Handmaid's Tale, I hear the music and I'm immediately full of anxiety. Like I'm just, oh my God. Like this last time that we put on Handmaid, like I go into it like we decide, okay, well, should we watch it? And I have it. I click on the episode, and then I hear the music. I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I can't.
So this is a television show or a movie?
The Handmaid's Tale is a television show.
Okay, I read the book. Book?
Yeah,
a book. It's about a couple years back. I don't.
They're on to season two, so they're past the book now.
Oh.
Which would increase my feeling of dread.
Yeah.
because.
Yeah, I sort of want to continue the story, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good. It's really, really good. It's just terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know that I can do it.
It's not terrifying like boo scary. It's just.
No, it's existential dread.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I've got so much of that going on.
Yeah, I don't
exactly yeah. like.
Do I just out of that department? Allison has a lot of that. So,
like when building the character, right? That slider got kicked up.
Yeah, it really got kicked up.
Well, I mean,
what the balance was to weigh it out, but like I haven't seen Jaws ever because my folks' place is right on the beach, and so I was obviously a huge ocean kid.
Yep.
And I made the decision at some point to be like, no.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Yep. What about Sharknado?
Sharknado, I've only seen clips of. Exactly. Or maybe
I've
not.
Only seen clips of it too.
You know, there are no good hurricane movies. There's a lot of other
Sharknado.
Like,
Sharknado might be.
That's a tornado of sharks.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not a, like a hurricane is totally a different beast. Anyway, we are here to talk about something, not existential dread and horror right. films. maybe actually we are.
Maybe
I don't know.
We are.
We don't know the topic. It's entirely possible Allison's going to drop horror movies.
The topic this week is existential dread.
It's a downer. And the Sad Bastard playlist this week is sponsored by Binary Jazz.
Sponsored by Pestilence. the topic this week is petrichor.
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 Can you use it in a sentence?
I petrichor you, and therefore you are petrichored.
This sentence includes the word petrichor.
So, boy, that would make the the spelling bee so much more fun, wouldn't it?
I mean, look, kids should be challenged.
Petrichor, obviously, we need to go back to
it's a genre. Speaking of the genre nader, petrichor is a genre.
Genre nado?
There's something there. We're going to use that for something. I don't know what. But.
Oh, we need a new command. We need a new command. Yeah, that's for sure.
Just a whirlwind of genre.
Can you say it again? I'm not sure.
Petrichor. It's like grindcore, except petrifying.
No. You're going the wrong direction. Petrichor. Obviously, Petra is means five, right? So.
Well, maybe I should. Five. P E T R I C H O R.
Oh, darn. Because I was really hoping that it was like grindcore or hardcore with like horror lyrics.
It still could be.
Yeah, see if you drop the E in East Germany.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Obviously.
I don't know that I even have like a inkling as to what this is.
Core means heart. And Petra, like you said, is five. So it's the five-chambered heart. It's the five-chambered heart.
That sounds like it's not survivable.
Your heart has
five chambers.
Your heart has five chambers.
I thought it had four.
Maybe it has four.
Pretty sure it's. I think it's four, but I don't. I mean,
I'm thinking back to the They Might Be Giants lyrics about mammals, and it's possible they said four and not five. It's so possible, but this is a five-chambered heart.
Well, now there you have me second-guessing myself. I'm fairly certain it's four, but if it's five, if you have the wrong number, I would assume it's not survivable. Can we agree on that? Let's start with agreement today.
I don't know.
Look, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. So
I don't even do that.
And you can watch that episode for
$15. Go to my Patreon.
Oh, wow.
That's a thing you should do.
No, I don't think so. Because Patreon takes an awful lot of money. I think what we need to do is build an open source version thereof. People can determine what they want to use for credit card processing and at least then bear less load of the Patreon logic.
I feel like if people are looking to give us and or me money, I'm available on many different paths that don't even involve interaction.
That's true.
You can just mail me money.
just send Allison money.
So I did receive payment from a client, friend of mine, doing some work for. Via text message on Apple Pay. Have you done this yet?
I haven't done Apple Pay. I've done Venmo.
It was so cool. It was like, I got a message that you've got cash. I'm like, okay. And that was it. Like now I have cash and I set it up and put it in my bank account. And that was like, this is way easier than the old, like, I guess like a Venmo or PayPal or what do you know, like just text message, boom, there's cash. Like, well, all right.
I mean, and the message you have, money is always welcome.
That, I think that was a part about it. Yeah, that was really exciting. Sweet. Yeah.
I had a friend who went on a date that didn't pan out, I guess, like the other party would have liked. And he then Venmo'd for his hat, like for the hat, like all the things he had previously treated for and then wanted to be owed for after the date had completed, which that's always what I think of now when I think of Venmo. Ooh. Which is
that's a pretty I'm trying to find the right word, punk ass move.
I mean, it's there's no coming back from that basically, but
I mean,
a way to have stories told of you to everyone.
I only have Venmo really for when I was getting stuff and selling stuff on on Facebook Marketplace because that's what other people used. Because I would totally use anything else.
It's the accepted way of paying for items when you add them to your Petrichor collection.
Exactly.
The Petrichor collection. What a good
it's a shelf in my office. This is all the Petrichor items.
Is the plural?
Which is
Petrichor
obviously
Petrichors?
Off screen. So
oh no,
you
it's
Petrichoral.
Petrichoral, right?
Petrichoral. Which is a particular type of coral. Yes.
Petrichor. It's probably an added. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it's not what I was gonna guess here in a second, because I was gonna guess that it is an additive fluid for use in fracking. So you add petrichor to the water that you're pumping down to help solidify the walls, so they don't pump methane into the water pipes of the locals.
Yeah, but frackers don't care about that.
They do to the point that they're not blowing things up. Or
they do to the point they're not blowing themselves up.
As many things.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Do they care about the not blowing things up or not blowing themselves up?
Yeah.
I feel there's more pragmatism than that. I'm defending crackers. I feel there's more pragmatism than that in the sense that. Do you ever get these things where you find yourself in a situation going, how the hell did I get here? So here I am. But I feel, I mean, there's a private, like the onus of a business, right, is to increase value to shareholders. So if you're blowing people up, you're probably going to invite more federal oversight if people are blowing up. So
it
want
depends
to limit
on the administration.
Explosive. Even so, there would be enough outcry that the as yet unlicensed media could interact in such a way that draws attention to exploding people, right? Like, oh, your drinking water's not safe. That's fine. We can live with that. People are literally exploding. Like, that's where we draw the line, you know? I would like to think that that's where we draw the line.
I would like
maybe I'm wrong.
You drew the line in a lot of places. That the line doesn't seem to
it keeps moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my
it's
point
the Overton
being,
window.
Though, that
the line
not,
just keeps moving.
This is not a situation where it's a moral decision to not blow people up. It is a shareholder decision to not blow people up.
Which is already showing that the line has moved quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think corporations have always been absolute dirtbags. I think that's been, I mean, not all corporations, but generally corporations, large corporations, like that's the, if you're,
yes, but if the deciding factor is what of what benefit blowing people up is to shareholders, if that's the deciding factor to not blow people up, then we've already gone way too far.
I mean, but look at medicine, like, you know, 40 or 50 years ago, before we had, well, I guess it's probably longer than that. When do we start getting really good oversight and on drugs?
Depends on what you define as really good.
Okay, yeah, that's a better point. Any kind of actual oversight, right, on drugs. I mean, prior to that, it was like, well, here's some bleach, and you drink it, and you're not gonna feel great for a while, but it's gonna cure whatever ails you. Like, and you could put that blanket statement out there, you know, like the snake oil concept was a thing. I mean, it's not, you know. So at some point there was oversight that came in.
Cocaine, like, it's good for you.
Also, that's what this episode's sponsored by.
Cocaine.
Petrichor.
Is Petrichor a brand of cocaine?
Does cocaine come in brands?
I was just going to ask.
I have no idea.
I mean, like, maybe I'm just showing how much of a square I am here. But
I think it's okay to be square on the topic of cocaine. I'm okay with being out about that.
I feel pretty comfortable at my rule following in that one arena. one of the few arenas where I'm like, yeah, I'm okay opting out of this. It's all right.
Just
a bummer that way.
For absolute clarity, we don't need to know about cocaine to know about Petrichor, correct? It's not like a prerequisite
correct.
For this conversation. Okay.
No, nothing.
All right, good.
It.
Good. Good. Because I'm qualified.
I bet you are. I wasn't meant to insinuate anything specific. It was just a thing that I say.
We're all qualified individuals in our own way.
We're all qualified to talk about things that we know nothing about, whether or not we are actually qualified to talk about those things individually.
Of course.
Deeply qualified. Boy, I don't even have like a spark of an idea as to what the heck this is today.
I do appreciate when you both try to break down the word into like its roots, though. Because like, did either of you take, I can't remember, did either of you take like Latin or Greek? Or
no, but I'm a Catholic, so.
Right.
And I grew up in a Greek city.
Formerly Catholic.
There you go.
The city I grew up in is still Greek.
Roots of words.
So I think I said this before, but the city I grew up in, like, largest Greek population in the U.S. Per capita. Because it was at one point it was the sponge diving capital of the world. When they overfished off the islands of Greece, they came to the edge of the Gulf of Mexico and fished for sponges. And then synthetic sponges showed up and killed the economy entirely. But so as a result, lots of Greek folks. And I didn't know for a lot of years that Epiphany and Greek Independence Day were not holidays, because our schools were closed because there weren't enough substitute teachers in the county to handle all the Greek teachers taking the day off those days. So I didn't take Greek, but...
So you got extra time off from school is what I'm hearing.
No, I'm sure.
They made those days up at the end of the year, probably.
Yeah, because we always had that, like, and there's always the swing for hurricane days. Like, we have that built in. That,
you have hurricane days? So, like, we have snow days, but, like, hurricane days, that...
It sounds cooler than it is. Here's the deal, right? So hurricane days come about whether or not, as a kid, they're great, but... Well, no, not really. As a kid, they're like, here's the way they work. So
that would be horrible. If you're at home from school because there's a hurricane day, that means there might be a hurricane.
Yes, but what happens is they have to decide if they're going to – the schools are generally built to be used as hurricane shelters. So if there's a hurricane coming and it looks like, oh, we may be impacted by this, schools will generally close like a day or two before it will make impact. So that means you're out of school in the peak of hurricane season, which is also the peak of, you know, summer in Florida when it's – 95 and 100% humidity, which I, as a kid, you don't care, but I guess it's great as a kid. But ultimately, like, you may or may not have a hurricane, but you may have hurricane days, and then you have to wait for them to clear all the hurricane shelters out, and then you go back to school. But they kind of build that into the calendar, that there's the expectation that there will be some hurricane days, and yeah.
I didn't get any of these days in California. I don't.
Yeah, California doesn't have any of those things. Utah has snow days.
There's no earthquake days.
Yeah, it's true. Well, because you can go to school in an earthquake, that's fine. Yeah, just get under your desk. The building collapses on top of you, it's fine.
Get under your desk in a doorway. So, hope for the best.
In all seriousness, what's the, like, earthquakes? You collectively have lived in between the two of you, California, for decades, I would assume, right? What's the worst earthquake you've been through? You were there in 89, 88?
Yeah, 89, yeah.
How close were you? I mean, like, what kind of impact did you feel on that? Did your house shake like hell and you were fine, or was it like, oh, we lost things?
No, it was, we didn't lose things in the sense that, like, I lost a home. It was, I remember distinctly, I had a paper route at the time. So I was folding newspapers. I was watching Ghostbusters as I was folding newspapers. It was the scene where the demon is loose running through New York City and about to eat slash bite slash who knows with Rick Moranis, and he's up against the glass window of the restaurant. This is how, like, specific this memory is. Like, I'm folding newspapers, and we're at that scene, and and we lived in an apartment, and my parents are gone because they worked all day. So I was a latchkey kid, so was doing the stuff, and room started shaking, and so I run under the dining room table, and I'm looking across to the TV, and I can literally see the TV bouncing. But aside from, like, an old ceramic bunny bank that I had breaking, we didn't lose things. Nothing really was affected for us. We were not, I mean, this was in Millbrae, which is like 15, 20 miles from San Francisco-ish. It was an apartment building, and we were on the bottom floor, so it wasn't like a whole lot of stuff, like, shook around a whole lot. I mean, it shook around a whole lot, but it didn't, like, break anything. But I've been also, like, I've been through earthquakes where you didn't, like, if you, what's interesting is if you're on, if you're driving during an earthquake, you don't feel it because the motion of the car, like, I don't know, compensates or something. It's really bizarre. So, like, you go home and you realize, oh, there's an earthquake and I drove, I was on the freeway or something.
Yeah. I went to, I was in college with a guy that I had met. I don't know how I met him. I had met him probably 5 years before I went to college, and so I knew him. But he, growing up, he lived out there, and after the earthquake, 88, 89, when was it? Was it 89?
It was 89.
Doesn't matter. 89. He slept in the backyard in a tent because he was afraid for days. And his parents let him. He and his brother slept in a tent because they were worried that stuff was going to fall down. And I don't know how rational that fear was, but I don't know. That's what stuck with me because I'm used to, like, you know, knowing that death is impending with hurricanes days and days out versus, like, suddenly there it is, right? So there's comfort in hurricanes. It's, I don't know.
Just comfort in hurricanes.
Well, it's better than an earthquake. You know what's coming.
The house I grew up in was, like, is kind of on pillars because of the tides. And so when earthquakes happen, it doesn't shake so much as sway a bit, which is... really weird.
It's actually that's structurally more sound than a building that doesn't move at all. That's why brick buildings are horrible for earthquake resistance because they don't move at all, so they can't absorb any of the movement of the earth, so then they just crumble.
Mm-hmm. Or as Ani DeFranco says, what doesn't bend breaks.
That's true. Very wise woman that.
So I never get to reference.
nice poll.
And we had this aquarium, and I just remember for, like, larger earthquakes, like, the water, like, sloshed out of the aquarium entirely, and, like, fish would, like, just be, like, flung out. And then I also remember that, like, this one of, in one case, the sturdiest, like, the sturdiest thing to get under was our foosball table, just because it was, like, in the middle of this room, so there were no, like, doorways to get under. So my mom and I were under the foosball table, and I just remember being, like, really upset because I could see the fish coming out of the aquarium and, like, landing and splatting, and then, like, wanting to, like, go throw, like, get them back in, having to wait for the earth, like, for it to all, like, stop. And then my mom being, like, priorities and, like, and not wanting me to, like, be running around the house.
Collecting fish during an earthquake.
I mean... realistically, sure, if the building fell on you and you're underneath a foosball table or a dining room table,
nothing's going to.
I mean, maybe you might be able to make it through. I mean, it's still like your chances of survival are not very great.
It's just to make you feel like
it's totally the duck and cover 1950s like nuclear fallout, like, you know,
yeah,
oh, we're going to overcome. nuclear holocaust by getting under our desks.
Yeah, we're in control, even when we're not in control.
So the hurricane equivalent is go to the centralmost room in the house, right? It has the most structure, generally the bathroom, the smallest room. So, and that way, if the roof blows off, it's not very likely things will come plummeting as they fall out of the sky onto you because, you know, the angle that's going to be blowing in the wind. So you're kind of protected on all sides by the studs that are remaining.
And you're in the washroom, which is a win-win.
Well, and often in that case, the problem is that there's no running water because there's no electricity to run the pump station. So it's like, fill your bathtub with water, and you need a gallon of water per person per day, and, you know, all that kind of silliness. So June 1st is coming, getting ready to fill up my jugs of water for the season.
Jeez.
Well, I didn't for years. We even had to evacuate years ago a bunch of times. But the last two summers, Jacksonville has been hit reasonably hard. I mean, nothing like terribly destroyed, but I mean, we had some flooding last year, and downtown Jacksonville was underwater for a couple days, and I lost major chunks of my favorite tree. Actually, that tree right there.
So we're at the timer point. We haven't even asked for
what is it?
No.
So what is petrichor?
What is petrichor?
Petrichor is the earthy smell that happens when it rains after it's been dry for a while.
I do love that.
I thought you would. So actually it's made, if I want to break it down from the roots for you, Petra is from the Greek meaning stone, and the ichor is the fluid that flows in the veins of the gods in Greek mythology.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, so it's combined with something else that's called geosmin, which is like kind of the earthy, it's the chemical that gives beets that like really earthy taste that some people love and some people just are like, I'm eating dirt. So combined with that and ozone and geosmin is what you smell when there's rain coming.
Oh, and I love that. It's yeah. It's the coolest thing.
Yeah. Petrichor.
I like it even more now.
Yeah. Well, and it was actually even like, I think they made up the term for it in the 60s when they were doing, they did a bunch of scientific experiments as far as like trying to break down the chemical compounds that were making up the smell.
Wow. We need to be scientists.
We actually have a user-submitted question. I'm excited. Although I think that Allison might have known that this was coming.
I had a hunch, but I keep prodding everybody. But we'll see. We'll see what kind of feedback or what kind of quality questions.
Ooh, pressure is on for the anonymous question submitter.
No.
So Robin
is it anonymous?
Asks, no, it wasn't anonymous. I mean, you could put a fake name, but it's obviously not. So Robin asks,
how is it obviously not? How
because
do we know it's not
because the name submitted because the name submitted matches the email address.
I feel like you could still make that work.
I'm gonna go well, register yes, email I mean, addresses. You could create
could,
a whole
why would
fake
I
identity.
This person.
Well, I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. I have more research to do.
The question is, was the Game Boy good?
Yeah. Yeah.
I will answer that question.
Great.
I will answer that question in the affirmative. And the reason why the Game Boy was good is because I didn't have one. Because I think if I had one, it probably wouldn't be nearly as good as it was in someone else's possession, and then having to like borrow and like cheat and like steal and like get every opportunity to play freaking Tetris that I possibly could, like sneak little Tetris games.
The Game Boy was good because it was one of the early attempts at putting computers in our hands.
That's a much better answer.
I like both those answers. I didn't have a Game Boy, but I coveted one as a result. So that's why I liked them. For sure.
Yeah, but I don't know if this existed when the Game Boy was actually out, but there's a like a chiptune sequencer music program for Game Boy, and maybe it just works on emulators, but maybe it actually was always in existence and only certain people had them. I don't know, but like a lot of like chiptune music, like the really like hardcore, like we're doing super retro stuff is actually made on a Game Boy, which I think is like bizarre and fascinating and awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. Huh.
Nice.
More things I could do. Okay. Now I have to pick up the slack here. I'm determined that if I get enough people to submit questions every week, I don't have to do this portion.
It's true.
What was the last magazine that you read on purpose?
Wired. Because I have a subscription.
Oh, okay.
I no longer have a subscription. When I travel,
I it
is
read
the first
it
magazine I purchase.
That was my follow-up question. Were you in an airport?
Yeah, we have a subscription to Wired. I haven't read it in months because I've just not. And also, it hasn't been as good as it used to be.
Yes, agreed. It got small about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Like the length dropped significantly.
Maybe we also have
a couple good long form articles that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like after Chris Anderson left as editor in chief, it sort of went downhill. Anyway. And we have a subscription to National Geographic, which I occasionally pick up. Largely that's there to like be put on surfaces. And then if the kids pick it up, then there's like far worse things they could be reading. That's the theory.
Yeah, I should do National Geographic for the kids.
Do they still have like Ranger Rick and those magazines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did Ranger Rick for a little while. I think Tyler's not doing it now, but it's, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of content there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I could put out a better publication than Ranger Rick.
My daughter gets a Highlight subscription.
Spare time, Gary.
I showed up for two meetings yesterday with Charlotte strapped to me, and she like slept through her first lunch. And she's going to be so mad when she wakes up hungry. And she didn't wake up on me. Like, Rhonda got home and here you go. And then she woke up like, oh my God, I didn't eat. but yeah, I mean, I'm like on these calls and she's passed out. It's like wearing like a nuclear vest, like radiating heat.
It's the best.
Yeah, she's so great.
Except for the part where you sleep through lunch. Then, I mean, like, I'm grumpy as well.
Yeah. Oh, that was just first lunch. She got second lunch.
Oh, yeah. No.
Small children are like hobbits.
I know.
They are. They totally are.
Except without the furry feet.
Maybe yours are. Man, someone said, like, boys smell, right? Like, when we had a boy. He was really young. Boys smell. How did he's like, you know, 7, 8 years old, like, man, boys smell. Like,
this is a true thing.
Wow. I mean, I guess I smelled that way when I was his age, but, you know. And then it's like in the shower with you, he's like, oh, do I have to? Like, yeah, yes, this is a thing that humans do. We bathe. Like, you know.
I'm glad to hear that these are values you're instilling.
Bathing?
Yeah, it's general hygiene.
A few times a week is something.
A few times a week.
Chris, I'm in Florida. I don't know if you've seen it, like, heard about us on the news.
True.
Like,
yeah, it's
standards
true.
Are not really.
That's fair.
Florida.
No, we haven't hit our peak months yet, so we'll get there.
My last question is too big of a question for less than a minute.
Well,
yeah, it's been the case for last.
I know, and it's a big one. That's why I'll lead with it next time. Maybe that'll just be my topic.
Unless a user submits a question, they take precedent.
Well, see, yeah, that's the thing. Robin stole fake my name. And in the best way, Robin keeps submitting questions.
Was that a comic book? Robin Stole My Thunder.
Robin Stole
it
My Thunder.
It is now. Binary second. Jazz presents Robin Stole My Thunder.
Let's go back to the genre NATO real quick. So, like, I wonder if we could
see a data visualization of all the genres swirling. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, maybe not all of them, because I have no idea how to generate all of them.
Well, not all of them, but like 25.
Yeah, and so we need some kind of way to render that out to a GIF, right?
But that can be done using like P5 or processing or something, I think. Or D3.
So,
I don't know. One of these newfangled JavaScript things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just gonna keep putting words together in an order until somebody tells me it makes sense.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.